20,000 people roll up to look at the caskets with a flag over top of it. Senator Ted Kennedy's body inside those mourners at the JFK Library and Museum. He will be buried on Saturday. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. In wake of what's happened with Kennedy, people are talking about who's going to take the seat. Important because of the health care debate and other things that are up for grabs when the Senate, like the Congress, of course, resumes on the Hill in the fall. One of the possible contenders is his nephew, Joseph Kennedy. We'll talk about that in a minute. This story, though, just so shocking, I feel like we have to start here. Imagine sending your kid off to the bus, just 11 years old, freckles on the face, pigtails, sixth grader. You drop her off, you think everything's okay, and in an instant, boom, just like that, she vanishes. Imagine the panic that you would feel. Flyers all over the place for years on end, desperate to try to find any information out about your little girl. Shockingly, 18 years later, the mystery unravels. Again, that's where we start on this hour of ATN. Kate Delaney, happy to be with you as we swing into another weekend. I hope nobody ever listening to the show suffers through what these people are suffering through. So 29 years old now, J.C. Lee Dugard, hidden for 18 years. You can't tell me that a parole officer had no clue that the person who was raping her and sheltering her for all that time, a convicted rapist, no doubt, you can't tell me that they were dumb enough not to check his living arrangements. Imagine if your neighbor, who, of course, since we live in a world where, you know, when there's a known sex offender, your neighbor had this tent and this whole thing out in the backyard. Would you maybe question that, right? So this is a place in South Lake Tahoe where the girl was taken. She was just sixth grade when she was walking with that pink windbreaker and getting on the bus. Two people pull up. She screams. They grab her, and then the rest is history. The parents, assuming that she was dead or, you know, they had heard nothing about her, and like I said, were frantically, year after year, trying to talk to the news media, putting out the flyers, doing whatever it is that you could do to keep that awareness alive, just in case. That little thing in the back of your head, just in case something could happen, a miracle, oh, please, oh, please. So this 58-year-old scumbag, Philip Craig Girardo, and his wife kidnapped her and have had her for that entire time. It gets worse. This guy impregnates her twice. She gave birth to two girls, 15 and 11. What a horrifying ordeal. And it's starting to unravel more of the sick and sordid details. As somebody said to me today, somebody I know said, you know, that happened to my little girl. Sorry, there is no justice good enough. If I found him first, I'd shoot him in the head and law enforcement be damned. So I think a lot of people are obviously upset over this. Finally, though, they're caught. And they're caught because he becomes extremely radical religious, screaming things out about God in a box and all kinds of things, stumbles onto the Berkeley campus and starts to hand out a bunch of leaflets, brings the two young girls with him, and something seemed weird, so people started to report it. They dig into his background. They start to question him, and then the story, you know, evolves from there. He confesses to the fact that he had kidnapped this girl when she was 11. And what's even worse about this, he calls a television station in Sacramento. And he, in fact, maybe we'll let you hear the audio of that later. He calls a television station in Sacramento and then tells the reporter that he calls, just wait till you hear the story of what took place at this house. You're going to be completely impressed. This raping scumbag parolee saying that, insisting that, geez, I have turned my life around. This is what he says. It's the most heartwarming story you can imagine. Are you kidding me? She's kidnapped in 1991. Just for argument's sake, Let's say we are living in olden days. It's the Wild West, and we get to mete out our own form of justice. What do you think you would like to see done to that guy? I just put him on one of those racks and put him out there in the hot sun. And the same thing with the wife. I mean, just unbelievable. So the parents, of course, probably, besides being in shock, elated, all that stuff, because it's been 18 years. Their life has gone on, and they now have this daughter and these two grandkids, too, by the way. So they flew to meet their daughter and spoke to her by phone and all that sort of stuff. And so here there had been this massive search nationwide, publicity, all this kind of thing. I think they even did it on America's Most Wanted, because I remember seeing her picture a couple of times. Just pulled into a stranger's car, block away from her home. She screams, they take off, and that's all anyone knows. And the whole time, the entire time, she is hidden in a backyard within a backyard, with tents and a shed, and that same car where they captured her, they kept that car, so that any time, that's exactly what happened. She was taken out in that car and apparently wasn't taken out very often. So they knew, the neighbors knew that this guy was a sex offender, this Gerardo, because, of course, you have to register on the state's Megan Law website. But really nothing ever came of a call that one of the neighbors made, because one of the neighbors felt like it was odd. Felt like the tent thing was odd, thought something was weird there, so called the site, but nothing happened with it. And the California parole people, what were they thinking? I mean, how does nobody go to this house and at least look around? Why wouldn't you have a meeting there of all the times that you meet with the parolee? I just find this completely shocking. So the good news is, the upside of this, is that she was found. The family gets closure, shocking closure nonetheless, and these two, I'm sure, will be nailed to the wall for what they did to this young girl at the time and then what has come of it as a result. And, you know, neighbors reacting in shock, people who knew her in the past reacting in shock, and the reality of the fact that she's alive just blowing away so many people, knowing that something just seemed a little bit amiss. This is one of those things where if you see something a little off in your neighbor's yard or the person a couple doors down, do you report it? I mean, what ultimately is your responsibility as a good neighbor? Do we have good neighbors anymore? Remember, it used to be about Crime Watch and the Neighborhood Watch, and you brought over the cookies and you knew your neighbor. You didn't have to get in their business, but you knew the basics, so you could kind of look out for them. Do people do that anymore, or do they just keep to themselves? Keep to myself. Something seems a little off. I'm not going to say anything, because maybe they could have found her a little bit sooner. I don't know. You can throw in your 2 cents on this, 800-259-5791. More coming up throughout the show, including the latest on Afghanistan. That's coming up next.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
For years, doctors and researchers have known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people have trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, AlkaZone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. AlkaZone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's A-L-K-A-Zone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call AlkaZone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
Today about Afghanistan, and a couple of the headlines scream, hey, guess what, we're in a war. And I thought, isn't that interesting? We say that all the time on America Tonight. The biggest problem with Afghanistan, I think, and Iraq, the 8 years, when we talk about the 8 years in Afghanistan and all those years, same thing in Iraq. I don't think people, unless they're touched by the military or they are really realizing it, somehow it's hitting home, or they've sent things to the troops, or, you know, sent letters, or somehow are involved, it doesn't feel like that traditional war, and that's part of the deal here. And we keep saying the same thing over and over again. And so to advance it further, I mean, it's more than what is the end game. It's what's the philosophy? What is the strategy? It's just like the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, what he was getting at, the admiral, Mike Mullen, when he was saying, you know, where people are waiting basically for Obama to come forward and say what the deal is here in Afghanistan. So that's the question. It's not what's the end game. What's the deal? Which encompasses the end game. What's the deal with this? And ultimately, there's like no public relations when it comes to the people in Afghanistan and the United States, right? So we're seeing, I just saw this protest the other day. I saw a sign, it said, screw America, we hate America, arrogant America, all this other sort of stuff. I mean, that obviously that has to change. Isn't one of the things they were talking about doing is that they have to gain the confidence in the hearts and the minds of the people in Afghanistan, which, by the way, most of them are illiterate. So there's one thing. How do you do that? And also, because you're getting rid of opium fields, theoretically, right, that's been a source of income. And that's the whole Taliban bribery thing. They got their own machine going there. So then how are you taking that away from the Afghanistan people? What are you replacing it with? And here's your other problem. And we've already pointed this out. the army and the police force, you don't have enough bucks to pump up the volume on that, and they don't because they don't have enough in their gross domestic product. They don't have enough money to pump into it. They actually had more money in Iraq, a lot more money, because of the oil. So how does this end as a win? How does this not end up being another Vietnam? And I think of, I just think of all the sacrifice, all the reservists, all the people who go over, all the people who go over again and again and again. And, you know, it's like you see Obama, who tries to be different. It's always about the previous administration. Well, we're separating ourselves, the wheat from the chaff. That was then. We're playing a different game. We want the world to know that we're America. I mean, they, you know, forget Guantanamo. We don't do torture here. We don't do this. Even it resulted in information that stopped attacks, because now that's coming out, right? But we're not doing any of those horrific things. We're not going to do it. Which, by the way, you know, the whole waterboarding thing of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, do you know that they were so paranoid, so worried, the interrogators, of getting in trouble, dancing around that gray line, that they checked every hour to make sure it was okay? You know, they waterboarded them, but they were doing it, checking to make sure it was right, checking every hour to make sure it was right. Who would want to interrogate now? I mean, nobody's going to. How are you getting any information, period, out of anyone? Because you can't. What are you doing to get that information? That's another story, though. I'm veering off. So making the point that Obama is trying to be different from the Bush administration, and particularly, as he said, in the eyes of the Muslim world. Remember the speech in Egypt in the beginning of June, that this perception of America as an arrogant, horrible oppressor has to change. Well, you know, it really hasn't changed in Afghanistan or Iraq. And that's where we have boots on the ground. We have guys fighting. And in Pakistan, where the United States is helping, obviously in a different way, to try to help them, try to help Pakistan in other ways, not so much by troops there, because that's not the case, but through other ways, other channels, okay? So you had Richard Holbrooke, who was this special envoy for Obama, who was visiting Pakistan in particular last week, and he could tell, he could see that America is still widely despised, I mean despised, hated in that country. Completely. And you know what they said? They say it's because the Americans are obsessed with finding and killing Osama bin Laden to avenge September 11th. Wow. Sorry about that. 3,000 people died. I'm sorry, folks in Pakistan. As much as we want to help you, because the Taliban has a stranglehold in your country as well, we still do want the head of Osama bin Laden if we can find him. You know, he's talking about pretend it's the Wild West and you could do anything you want to that couple, the Girardos. I think they are, you could do whatever, anything necessary to make yourself feel better. We could apply that to Osama bin Laden, by the way. Imagine the person who would find bin Laden. Just take care of it right here with a couple of shots. Boom, boom. Because then if there was a trial, we saw what happened with Saddam Hussein anyway. But, so Pakistan apparently upset, taking it a step further, arrogant Americans, more than that. You want to find bin Laden, that's all you care about, so we don't, you know, we're not looking for friendship. We still feel the same way. I mean, so this idea that we're winning over the people, I got to tell you, it's not looking good from everything that I've been poring over, all the foreign newspapers and some of the things that have been written by people that have been there. And then just by Holbrooke and what he's saying in his trip, he's being honest and obviously revealing that information. I think it's pretty scary. The anti-Americanism has ratcheted up. So how's that possible? When you had the United States doing what they could in Baghdad and now doing that in Afghanistan, how do you change that perception? You got to win the propaganda war. I mean, everybody knows that. Think of the propaganda wars and even any of the wars we fought in the past. It is about propaganda, right? So somehow, and Admiral Mullen has this right and has talked about this, that the Taliban and Al-Qaeda are simulating themselves, certainly in their communities. So they're living among the people. They intimidate the people. As I said, in Afghanistan, if you're going to make some money, you can't read, you can't write, and the Taliban's giving you some money, they control pretty much the communication around you, you're going with that. Why are you switching to the Americans? What's making you do that? What are the Americans offering you when they come through your village? So, and, you know, I know if there was democracy, if you could pump democracy into both of those countries, I mean, hey, great stuff, right? Free elections, free thought, free to go about your business and not feel like you're going to be blown up in a square somewhere. But that maybe that's just too idealistic, and it's not the reality of the Middle East. How often do I say that on this show? So how do you counter that extremist stuff that's being pumped in and around there? How do you do that? See, it's like you think, I was watching a show the other day about a survivor of the Holocaust and what it was like on that march when the women marched basically from Poland to Czechoslovakia, and how, you know, then the troops were able to rescue some of them at the end when everybody had been liberated and they were just so stunned at it. But communism, different story. But still, how do you contain, you compare containing communism to what's happening with the propaganda machine and Al-Qaeda and the Taliban? And how, after those wars, did you help to, I don't know, mold the public opinion? Or what was the communication strategy then? How did those missions work? Don't know if you can apply it the same to Afghanistan or to Iraq. But certainly something has to be done. Even the people in Congress that have gone to visit, they know that there's a big lack here, that something has to be done, at least from the Pentagon's point of view, I guess, as to how much money you can spend and how you can start to turn that thought around, because that's too big in this war in Afghanistan. Stay with us.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
You're listening to GCN, Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Wow. All I can say is wow. Times are changing fast. Scary needles. Laws changing until pretty soon it'll be against the law to grow a tomato plant. How does this fit into healthcare? I'm not sure. But I am sure that Life Change Tea will give attention to your health. Good health. Join the many that have made the change just by drinking our all-natural tea. Lose weight, detoxify, and get energy. Call now at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. It doesn't come any easier. Getthetea.com. Oh, yeah, and right now is our semi-annual special underway. It won't last long, so order now while you still can. Order at getthetea.com.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
As gardeners, we can all relate.
What do you do with all of the excess food that you grow?
Freezing or canning may have been the process you've used, but the good folks at Excalibur Dehydrator have a healthy alternative to preserve the fruits of your labor. The Excalibur Dehydrator will help you preserve your fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about premature spoiling. You can also use your Excalibur Dehydrator year-round to make delicious jerky. And the best part? The foods you dehydrate are free from excess additives, salt, and preservatives, and that's something we can all do without. To learn more and to order your very own Excalibur Dehydrator, visit drying123.com and see how the Excalibur Dehydrator can help you preserve your favorite foods.
Mention coupon code GCN and receive a free book on how to preserve your foods.
Again, that's drying123.com, drying123.com, or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254 today.
This broadcast, you can chime in with what you think should happen to the couple that abducted this 11-year-old girl, who, by the way, is an underage girl. She had two babies by the guy who abducted her, raped her, sodomized her, all these horrific things. It's just beyond comprehension that nobody in an entire 18 years saw anything that was off. And that's why I said it brings to mind the question of, if you're listening to me in Iowa, if you're listening to me in Connecticut, if you're listening to me in California or Texas or wherever, when is it kosher to step in when you see something? I mean, if I live next door to this guy and I think, yeah, they're strange, but I see this tent. And then all of a sudden, there's a young girl, because I see her, she's just all of a sudden appeared at 11. So now my neighbors have this 11-year-old girl. Then I see a child, a baby. Then I see another baby. And I don't, you know, I know pretty much the ages of the woman he's with. She's not childbearing years. I don't know. Am I thinking something's off? I got to make a phone call here, even if it's an anonymous phone call. Would you do that? Would you make that call? And I pinned some of this, like I already said, on the parole board, because I think they're negligent in their duties if they know he's a known sex offender and there had to be meetings, parole meetings or whatever. Why would they never check out the digs? Because I would think that's where you could see if somebody's doing okay. Why wouldn't you do that? I don't know. I just think they might have been able to get to her a little bit sooner. I mean, it's too late. Things happened to her right in the beginning, but maybe some of the other things wouldn't have happened down the road, because 18 years is a very, very long time for that to go on, an incredibly long time. All right, I promised that I would bring this up about Kennedy and who the replacement for Kennedy would be. Sam in Montreal called us in the first hour, and he asked me what I thought. And I said, you know, Joseph Kennedy was somebody a lot of people were interested in, but he has problems in his personal life. He had an annulment, has two kids. A lot of people weren't fond of that. And also the fact that his wife, ex-wife, put out a book and said he was verbally abusive, demanding the whole annulment thing. So he'd have to get over that black eye, that hurdle, I guess. But he does have money in his campaign coffers if he wanted to do it, because he's been there before. Now, the former governor of Massachusetts, Mitt Romney, was asked whether or not he would consider running for Kennedy's open Senate seat. And he said he's interested in helping other Republicans run for office and that he wasn't interested in doing that. What's wild about the Kennedy deal is because of his death, you've got a Senate seat in Massachusetts for the first time in 25 years. And the way the law is in Massachusetts, Kennedy's successor would be chosen through a special election, but that can't happen for another 145 to 160 days. So the governor of Massachusetts has said he is considering doing this. He's supporting changing the law to allow for someone to jump in there in the interim to replace Kennedy until they hold the election. And, you know, the Romney thing was speculated, you know, there was speculation about that. Remember, he challenged Kennedy in 94. He lost by 17 points, but he keeps saying that he is not at all wanting to go back to that he wants to help other Republicans and in their election bids, and so he's not looking to go in that direction. If the governor changes that law and they can put somebody in right away, then they wouldn't have to wait for that 160. Right now, the law bans an interim appointee, so they wouldn't have it. That means that the election would be held, if I'm doing my math right, the last 2 weeks of January, the first week of February. And then you've got primaries 6 weeks before the election, which would mean Democrats and Republicans, the candidates wouldn't have very much time. It, I guess they'd have to really, really talk her into it. Another person, there's some state people interested, like the state attorney general, Martha Coakley's interested. She would be the first woman ever in the Senate from Massachusetts. She's got a pretty high profile, but she doesn't have the money like Joe Kennedy does to be able to push that. But it'll be a curious thing because with this going on, you've got one senator. People in Minnesota can tell you about that as they waited forever to find out what was going to happen with Norm Coleman and Al Franken and had the one senator. So in this case, you just have John Kerry, and you would have to wait until February for anything to happen. I think the governor will flip that and instead go ahead and do the interim thing, and then whoever ultimately is going to get the seat, they'll do the primaries, like I said. It'll still be a tight window, but you'll have somebody in the interim will be in there, and it'll be very interesting to see who that is, especially with the things that are being talked about at this point, right? So I think it's Joe Kennedy. If enough people talk him into it, it's probably Joe Kennedy. The other part of the whole Kennedy thing, Ted Kennedy, when he had just died, Nancy Pelosi already sending stuff out to reporters. And I think I mentioned this the other day, but Nancy Pelosi already sending things out to reporters, talking about the healthcare reform being named for Ted Kennedy. And it's a fair question to ask. You may be a staunch conservative, but is this good strategy or poor strategy on the part of the Democrats who are pushing this? Is this a smart play? And it's very reminiscent of Paul Wellstone, if you remember. But does this work, or will this blow up in their faces if they try to go that route? See, I think it's also new. It's all about the eulogy and his life and all that stuff. That really, from a Democratic point of view, I don't know that it's a smart play right now. But a lot of people have written about it. A lot of people have suggested that it would be the biggest blunder the Democrats could make if they don't name the bill for Ted Kennedy. You know, does this make this bill go through? It's like somebody said today in something I read, you think of LBJ and the Civil Rights Act, and that was the big push for John F. Kennedy. He gets assassinated. Bingo. Let's do this for Jack. And even the people who weren't on board all of a sudden are on board. I don't think you have this, though, so much in the health care reform debate, because I think there's too much divide. And it almost feels like an election. Now, you know, in the election, the back and forth, Republicans and Democrats and all the stuff that went on just last year, I think it feels like that. So naming, from the Democratic point of view, naming the bill for Kennedy, I don't know that you're going to get that pull. Because what about the people that are moderates and certainly the people that are conservatives? I don't see how that necessarily gets somebody to change the point of view to get the votes that would be needed to get the health care reform with the public option, especially. So that was Kennedy's thing. In the form that he wanted, it was health care for everyone, period, end of story, across the board. No matter what. So single payer, the whole thing, boom, that's go in that direction. And that can't be compared to the Civil Rights Act. I don't think so. And of course you had it at that point, you're talking about a president being assassinated. And in the case of Ted Kennedy, he had a sad, sad illness, obviously, with the brain cancer, but different than being the president being assassinated and pushing for something to happen with civil rights. So I don't know one that you could compare the two like some people are trying to do, and I don't think it would work. I think it could, in fact, if anything, backfire. I'm going to agree with Senator Feingold, who said he doesn't think that this happens because of the nature of what we're seeing at town hall meetings and the great divide over what the bill would look like. And even if the parliamentary procedure rule were to be enacted, the so-called nuclear option, and you just need the 51, you still got to deal with the Senate, even if it goes through the House. And, you know, we're talking about pretty soon they're going to resume here on the Hill, because Monday is the last day in August. And healthcare is number one issue, period. Economy, which goes hand in hand with healthcare, by the way, because how are you going to pay for it and all that other sort of stuff, that's number two on the list as well. Now, the 1,400 pages or so of the one House bill, 3,200, because I'm like everybody else, I think I'm smart, but then I realize, wow, either this language, this is written in a foreign language or something else. I've had other people go through it for me, and some of the glaring things are, one, it's a lie that the abortions would be paid for, and also, really, in spelling it out, it does look to the fact that you wouldn't be able to keep your same doctor. Too bad if it doesn't work out. That's the way it reads, according to the lawyer who looked at it for me. Hang with us.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground-up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious-tasting, chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet, or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. I want to tell you about BioGreenClean.com. BioGreenClean. It is absolutely the first heavy-duty, all-natural, multi-purpose cleaner that outperforms all competitive cleaners. BioGreenClean is the product. It's tough enough to take on virtually any cleaning challenge, yet gentle enough for your baby's toys. That's right. BioGreenClean is plant-derived and contains no harmful chemicals, solvents, and no annoying fragrances. If you want spectacular and unprecedented results from a revolutionary cleaning product, look no further. BioGreenClean is the cleaning product that you've been waiting for. It's that simple. It's super, and it's easy to order. Just go to www.biogreenclean.com. That's www.biogreenclean.com. BioGreenClean.com. Try it today. You'll be glad you did. BioGreenClean. It cleans anything.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and A-Q-U-A Aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Let's hear some audio from the nutballs that kidnapped this little girl at 11 years old, who now is 29 years old, J.C. Lee Dugard. 18 years. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Promise you we will lighten the load a little deeper into the show. Mark is listening to us in New York. Hello, Mark.
Yeah, we're not going to lighten it right now, are we, hon?
No.
All right, I had a couple of issues I wanted to call you about. I was reading the Times about everything that's going on in the world, but especially Afghanistan. I want to know where
yes.
the anti-war protests are. I want to know why our guys are getting blown up to keep a government with Sharia law that's, you know, keeping the drugs flowing. I know I sound like a broken record, but that's really not why I call. Of course, you know I'm going to talk about Ted Kennedy. In today's New York Post, Howie Carr, who's a writer for the Boston Herald, he wrote...
I saw it.
Did you see that column?
Yeah.
Let me just pick out a couple of choice things and, of course, give you my take on some things, which you may have heard before, but it's worth reiterating. He said that the blue-collar folks up in Boston or in Massachusetts, you know, got sort of... Teddy didn't understand. You know, he said he was for the blue-collar folks, but he pushed them aside, and he talked about Chappaquiddick and everything else. But here's my question. When Romney was the governor, Ted Kennedy wanted no part of the governor selecting someone to replace John Kerry when John Kerry quit or whatever to join to run for president. Kennedy said, no, we have to have a special election. We have to be for the people. And again, in this column by Howie Carr, now since Kennedy's gone, the Democrats up there want to switch it back to having the Deval Patrick, who's the governor, select someone. Why does it have to be another Kennedy? Why can't the people select who should replace Ted Kennedy? Do we live in a representative republic or not? I mean, this is just sad. They just change the rules whenever you want. So to ask the question is to answer it. You don't have a representative republic. And he mentioned how during the Immigration Reform Act, which I mentioned last week or a couple of days ago, about how it wouldn't lead to a flood of immigrants into this country, and that he changed the complexion of the country, and he did it purposely. So this it goes on and on about this. This is just aggravating. you have to know the history of what this guy did, you know, to make an informed judgment of where he sits in history. And they're all just, they're kissing his rear end. And I don't think he was as great as they said he was. And really quick, he did everything he could. I know my friends in the pro-gun community, I haven't brought this up. He did everything he could to disarm the people. Even when President Bush signed H.R. 218, which gave retired and off-duty police officers the right to carry, he didn't trust them, okay? And by the way, there's an effort to go on for some other law enforcement in Washington to be disarmed under the Obama administration, but that's something else. He wanted, it doesn't tell what a hypocrite he was, okay, for what he was fearful or whatever, like the elites always are. He wanted to disarm everybody and their mother, including the police, and he wanted armed, he wanted his guys with submachine guns to be able to come into the well of the Senate. So you see, there are two Americas. There's America for people like him, and there's America for us. And the really last thing, it's in the column here, he mentioned this as far as Richard Kennedy and the Watergate great crimes. And you may have read it, but here's a quote. Quote, do we operate under a system of equal justice under law, or is there one system for the average citizen and another for the high and mighty? End quote. Well, Mr. Kennedy, I ask you, is there? Hey, look, I had someone who was locked up, okay, a good close friend, faced the justice system. I think it was a wrong conviction. But this guy didn't even face a judge. He didn't even do a day in jail for what he did in Chappaquiddick. So, yes, there is two systems of justice, one for us and one for him. And thanks, Kate. I'll call you tomorrow.
All right. Mark, obviously on the train of not liking some of the, obviously, what's being said about Kennedy. I will say this because I brought this up the other day. What is he remembered for? Chappaquiddick? Is he remembered for the famous family or legislation because he was involved in 300 pieces of legislation? I feel like Mark does about guns because you know that I think we have the right to bear arms and I think the Constitution got it right, frankly. And it's always easy when something happens with guns for people to turn that around and say, see, if we had no guns, we would not have what happened in Virginia. We would not have this. We wouldn't have that. But I can tell you just as many stories where somebody was saved as a result of that. So I think that argument's a wash, and I agree with him. And it's ridiculous, the policeman thing. I know a lot of people on the side of why can't you carry the arms, especially for the police officers, thought that that was completely outrageous. So there are a lot of ways to dissect, certainly, this man's life. But I'm going to take the high road like Sean Hannity did. I happened to catch a little bit of his show, and I thought this was great. I mean, Sean Hannity certainly is nowhere near a liberal. And he said, you know, there's time to really dissect this, but you got his family. And he was talking about Nancy Pelosi jumping on it right away on the whole health care thing, which I agreed with him on. We talked about that on the show, trying to slap his name on it before he's even cold in the grave and, you know, give his family a chance to digest this whole thing. And he said, I'm not going to go into the Chappaquiddick. I'm not going to go into all that stuff out of deference to them and letting them deal with your grief. And, you know, that can be down the line. And I agree with that. But Mark has the point about the legacy. There are lots of different ways to look at it. He was somebody that a lot of people in the Senate and a lot of the people in the Congress did like. He had enemies like anyone else. But overall, he did have a lot of friends, on the other side of the aisle. Well, think about where our parties have gone, both the Democrats and the Republicans, which is why I say all the time, bring me a good third party. We can make the great argument for that. Give us more choices. Give us better choices because both have become so politicized, such a political machine anymore that cranks up out of D.C. where we get nothing but reaction instead of action. But that's a fight for another time. I started the show talking about this horrid story of J.C. Lee Dugard and how stunning it was. I mean, I guess the silver lining is she's in good health. She's, you know, living in a backyard for 18 years, the education lacking, all that. It's just got to be so bloody sad and very strange for those officers who got her out of there. But moving forward, hopefully with therapy and love and time, she can get on a different path. But the man and the woman who did this horrible thing to her, this Philip Garrido, he had the nerve, after all of this happens, to call a TV anchor in Sacramento, and listen to what he said. Check out some of this audio of the conversation.
In the end, this is going to be a powerful, heartwarming story, one that you're going to be really impressed. It's going to take world news. The first thing I'd like to tell you, and the only thing I'd like to tell you right now, I have no desire to hold back these things. In fact, when this takes place, you're going to be really surprised at what happened. There's a powerful, heartwarming story. If you would just cooperate with me, you can make the decisions as you get the information. I am so sorry because I don't mean to disappoint you right now. I just know I have to do this in an orderly fashion. Well, let me tell you this. When I went to the San Francisco Bureau, and I'm not avoiding your question, I'm just wanting to make sure that you understand something. I was accompanied by two children that are J.C. DeGard's two children that we've had. So, you know, and the federal government had them, and they also accompanied me elsewhere to Berkeley. I was just at the only places I went was in the legal system. Mm-hmm. So, what's kept me busy the last several years is I completely turned my life around. And you're going to find the most powerful story coming from the witness, from the victim. You wait, if you take this a step at a time, you're going to fall over backwards. And in the end, you're going to find the most powerful, heartwarming story and revealing of something that needs to be understood. That's about as far as I can go. My life has been straightened out. Wait till you hear the story of what took place at this house. And you're going to be absolutely impressed. It's a disgusting thing that took place with me in the beginning. But I turned my life completely around. And to be able to understand it, you have to start there. I'm so sorry, Mr. Well. I want to help you further, but I also need to protect. I need to protect the sheriff's office here, and I need to protect the federal government, and I need to protect the rights of J.C. Lee DeGard.
Wow, this guy is so off his rocker. What a sick, twisted idiot. I'm going to leave you with this one from Aristotle. What is a friend, a single soul dwelling in two bodies?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone is now dumber for having listened to it.